Welcome to The Church Planter's Life, a podcast exploring the possibilities and pain of starting a missional incarnational church. This podcast is a resource of the V3 movement. V3 is a grassroots training organization for men and women planters around the country. Thanks for tuning in as our host Matt Alexander leads the conversation.
Hey friends, welcome to the Planter's Life podcast. My name is Matt, down in Miami, Florida. And the Planter's Life podcast is powered and sponsored by the V3 Network. V3 is a training and coaching organization for people who have a heart, a sense of calling to make disciples in their neighborhood or their network. And so we come alongside people to help them plant missional, incarnational expressions of the church, the grassroots work of movement. And I've been a part of that for a long time, a part of V3 for a long time. And it's an honor and a privilege to get to walk alongside folks. And so this podcast kind of serves as a way to share some of the stories of people who have gone through our training and are working it out on the ground of planting, starting missional incarnational expressions of the church. So today we're hanging out with Lauren Goldblum up in Spokane, Washington, who started and is pastoring the Commonwellian. All these are different forms, right? Of what you could say.
Sure.
So Lauren, tell us a little bit about Spokane. I just said it wrong. Spokane?
Yes.
Spokane.
It's good.
All right. Tell us a little bit about Spokane. And I know you guys started Commonwealth in kind of a specific neighborhood. So maybe talk about the neighborhood a little bit. And also, like, how did you get going with planting? How did that begin for you? Yeah, all those things.
Yeah, so Spokane is in eastern Washington, so it's a big city surrounded by a rural area. So we have kind of an interesting mix of city and small town feel. It's a very homey kind of place, a great place to raise a family. So we are in the Cliff Cannon neighborhood on the Lower South Hill. And we've sensed that God was calling us to this neighborhood in particular. It's kind of this mixing place of right in between the more desirable affluent neighborhoods and the rest. So it's multi-family zoned and then single family zone. We're right on the line of that. So in our neighborhood, we have a lot of middle-class families, working-class families, and then we have quite a few former refugees in our neighborhood. We have group homes. We have some transitional housing, apartments. So just a mix of all kinds of people. So we like being kind of right in the middle of that. We've been in the neighborhood for 4 years. And when we first moved into this particular home and this particular street, we just felt like this was to be a place of welcome and invitation for our neighbors. And we really just kind of began to discern, like, what does it mean to neighbor well, and to love our neighbors and create community in this neighborhood. So that started right as soon as we moved in, and we began kind of practicing a different way of living really locally, of shopping in our local grocery stores and going to the same coffee shop and just interacting with our everyday neighbors on a daily basis. For that, our lives were pretty, we were commuters and we drove everywhere that we worked 30 minutes away. We went to church 30 minutes away the other direction. We had our school 20 minutes the other direction. We were all kind of spread out. And God was kind of calling us to live specifically in one place. And so we were discerning that. And at the same time, I was beginning to discern a call in my life for pastoring. And a few years into kind of that discernment process, the established church that we were a part of kind of discerned an end. So our lead pastor resigned, and we were left to kind of think, well, how do we carry out our mission, which is to be planted in our neighborhoods and sent into our neighborhoods? And if we were gathering people from all across kind of the Spokane region and bringing them into church and then sending them back out, were we kind of working against ourselves in the sense that we're pulling people from the very places that they could be sharing life and sharing mission and worshiping together? So we discerned as a church body that we should actually be sent and released to be part of what the Spirit was doing right where we lived. So for us, since we already felt this deep call in our neighborhood and felt like eventually we would maybe start some kind of church expression in our neighborhood, that was our signal to kind of jump into the deep end as opposed to slowly wading into it. All of a sudden, we didn't have our church community. We were left to kind of figure out what can church look like here? So that's where we were.
Yeah. That's where you were.
That's so where we were.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, yeah, I love the journey, the tension and the pain points of it, but also kind of some of the beauty that has slowly emerged from that kind of point of confusion in a way, right? That ending, that something has been birthed out of that, a new beginning of sorts. Yeah, really beautiful. So talk to us a little bit about you talked about some of your own kind of personal rhythms, which I'd love to hear more about that as well, and how that kind of, well, I won't get to that first. Let me ask this question. If I said, hey, I'm going to take a month and move up to the neighborhood and immerse myself in Commonwealth and kind of the rhythms in life that is happening there in your community, what would I experience? What would I be a part of? What would I participate in really tangible gathering type of ways, but also kind of the ethos or life that's kind of brewing in the community?
Yeah, we've been really kind of slow to discern like what is natural and organic and makes sense. Like what does everyday discipleship look like? And how do we not, kind of impose a program, but instead listen to, if I'm going to follow Jesus in this particular place with this kind of life, like what might I need? What are healthy rhythms for myself, for my family, for a community. Mm-hmm. So we've just kind of slowly grown into that. And so what the first one is we gather for weekly communion. So we have a communion gathering that is in our home. So you would come on a Saturday evening, and there would be families and adults and lots of children, lots of neighborhood kids, and just about everyone who would be here would be from the neighborhood or at least doing mission in the neighborhood. And so we enter into the story of God together with all of our kids. That is beautiful and messy and a little bit chaotic, and that's good. That's like real family life, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
We enter the story together. We usually do something with our hands to enter the story, like some kind of art piece or, clay or hands on something to help us kind of recapture our imagination for what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We'll light a candle together and sing a little song and pray through that. And then we'll take Eucharist, and that will begin kind of our shared meal together. So we believe communion is kind of at the height of, right, yes, Christian practice, and it should be practiced regularly. So we'd practice communion and then share a meal, go around, say highs and lows, and kind of share what, listen in, try to hold space for each other, try to model and practice what it looks like to be family together, to listen to one another, to care for one another. Usually after our meal, most of our little ones are about done with the kind of discussion part, so they get to go and play. And so then whoever wants to continue will kind of go a little deeper into the word. For about a year, we just were in Acts and just saying, who is God and what does it mean to be his church? And kind of trying to strip away some of the ideas that we have heavily ingrained in us about what church has to look like. Mm-hmm. And then just reading like, oh, this is what church looks like. It kind of looked a little bit like this. It was, yeah, kind of a little messy, and there was meals and shared life. Yeah. So that's our communion gathering. But other than that, it's what fits into your everyday and your rhythms of neighboring. Mm. So for me, my part of my mission is that I'm at our local schools a lot. I took a different job teaching so that I can be present in my kids' elementary school. And started a drama club there, which we do a lot of, like, we like to say that we just throw a lot of spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. So, hey, I've got this skill with drama and teaching. What if I started a drama club? So I did a little trial, and I had 65 kids sign up. And I was like, well, I think that spaghetti is sticking, right, for me. Yeah. And then our other neighbors are discerning, like, well, where do their gifts and their natural lives intersect with the needs of the neighborhood? So there's a lot of individual things that are happening. My husband's helping start a nonprofit that is going to be a restaurant for former refugees, where we'll get to share good food. And that's provided by our neighbors who are former refugees.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of his thing. The other things that are happening are just really what we sense the neighborhood needs as far as community. So when I lost kind of, you know, my church group, that was the center of our social life. Sure. So we had all the social relationships that we could need, and we didn't really have to know our neighbors. We were just fine. We had supports. And so once that was taken away, it was kind of like entering into, a relational poverty, right? Where all of a sudden I've got to start caring about the community that's in this neighborhood, because I actually really need that community. I really need to know my neighbors, because I won't have friends if I don't know my neighbors. So one thing we did about a year ago, another member of our discipleship, Cora and I, we sent out a text and said, hey, chocolate and wine at our house, just to the ladies in the neighborhood. And that spaghetti stuck. We've been gathering every single month since then. We've had all kinds of different ladies gathering with us. And we're just sharing life together. So that wouldn't be a church program, but it's community in the neighborhood. And we definitely sense the presence and movement of the Spirit in that kind of place.
I probably wouldn't be able to participate in that, though.
You probably would have to throw your own spaghetti, right, you know, and figure out how do guys connect over here? Or, you know, yeah, what are some of the other things?
Sure.
And that's, you know, just discernment. So, but then we do have like block parties. You could definitely come to our block parties. We do a big Oktoberfest. We've done it for 3 years now. We just have some beer and brats. We have a neighborhood band, and we get 100, 150 neighbors coming together and hanging out.
Yeah.
Someone said, hey, this just feels like a little bit of heaven on earth. And we're like, wow. Yeah, it does. Our wow. Big summer block party of barbecue, and we all painted a neighborhood bench together. And we asked all our neighbors to say, like, what's the neighborhood you hope for? And they wrote beautiful words like love and acceptance and belonging and diversity. And so that's going to sit on our out on our sidewalk ready for everyone to sit on and
think
about community differently.
I love it. So cool. How have you, so I think one of the things that's really compelling to me about your journey specifically is that this has been not just like your project, but a, like your whole family's kind of sense of calling. Right. And you and your husband have, I don't remember how many kids. You got a whole,
we have six.
like a baseball, like a football team. Yeah. You got a crew.
Yeah.
So maybe talk about that element a little bit about what is it like to have this be just a part of normal life that you guys have, you know, kind of given birth to this community as a family in many ways, for your kids to participate in that, to kind of navigate healthy rhythms and boundaries with family life. You know, kind of being integrated, a lot of things are integrated together, but there's also, it needs to be some healthy boundaries with all that too. How do you guys kind of work that type of stuff out?
Yeah, great question. The first piece is that, you know, we're discipling our kids first.
Yeah.
And we're kind of, our home is our first little church, you know, our first little center where we're doing shared life and shared mission and, you know, shared faith together. So what does that mean when I think about discipling my kids? How can I do that well? And I realized that the model of going somewhere and sending them off to a different room, and then we get together and just say, oh, what did you do? And what did you do? That wasn't necessarily producing, shared like discipleship. That wasn't. What has been really beautiful to watch over this last year is the ways in which our kids understand mission, that they understand that church and neighboring is all connected, and their schools, their friends from school, and who they see at the park and who, you know, join them for worship, like that's all connected. There's no more lines of what is sacred and secular, right?
Yeah.
So we thought, yeah, maybe doing it this way, maybe having church in our home would help them reimagine what discipleship means. And it has. I mean, it's not weird to like prayer or write songs or talk about Bible stories at home now, because that's our part of our weekly practice, right? Where that can feel really uncomfortable when it's like, oh, well, we're not at church right now. You know, that's part of our life. The other thing is that our kids were the first ones to neighbor well. They're the first ones out on the street, meeting all the kids on the streets. And our neighbors will tell you like, yeah, we didn't think there were any kids in our neighborhood. And then you guys moved in and all of a sudden there's kids everywhere. And part of it is we brought six of them. But they're great at inviting people out, and they've created this safe spot on our block right out here where they're always out and running around together and just doing life naturally. So I've had to it's just this beauty and this challenge to always see our children as just as valuable. So our church right now is mostly kids, and their souls matter just as much. Yes. And so I don't count numbers like separately, right? And I'll say, well, there was, you know, only 5 adults. I mean, because there was 20 kids, and that's amazing. So the other day, for example, just worked out that other people weren't able to come, and we only had one neighbor kid join us, but joined our family. And so we weren't going to change. We weren't not going to do our normal rhythm because it's our family's rhythm. Like, it's their church. But we got to just see like what God is doing in just this one neighbor boy. And just the fact that he has come into our shared life through just playing out on our sidewalk and just doing life with us. And we were just, instead of being bummed and sad, like, oh, there's no one here. Like, we were just so grateful looking at that one kid who was getting in on the family of God.
Yeah.
So they're teaching us a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a wonderful. Thank you for sharing about that and unpacking that a little bit. Just a couple more thoughts or questions. Talk about maybe one or two things that have been really life-giving to you about planting and leading, and one or two things that have been life-draining to you through this journey as well.
Sure. So our name is Commonwell, and that's, it took us forever to come up with a name because we didn't want to define it. But I kept having this image of a well, right? Of this, there's a geographic element to like a place where you gather.
Yeah.
And the well is an equalizing place because everyone needs water in the same way. There's no one who needs the water any less. So we're all equal at the well. We all need the well. But the water is already there. The water's already there waiting to be tapped into. So I think what's life-giving in a, you know, maybe it sounds abstract, but it's just this leaning into, like, the Spirit of God is already here and already everywhere we step foot. Mm-hmm. And so anything that we are doing, we get to tap into that. So what's life-giving is that now everything counts. You know, now my, just walking my dog counts. It's a beautiful and holy work. Mm. And going to the grocery store counts. And, you know, just bumping into my neighbor and talking to my neighbor counts. And being at my kid's school counts. And all of it is part of, you know, tapping into the presence and movement of God, and finding ways to be part of that. So all the life-giving things are, you know, for example, that women's night, well, just inviting presence and seeing, if community could happen, and then it does. And then there's all these beautiful relationships that have come out of that. Or one thing that's really life-giving to me is the relationships that are forming that I'm not even part of, right? So it's kind of setting a table and inviting people, and then just seeing all the other connections that are being made and how other people are noticing that there's community and there's connection in the neighborhood. So that's, I know that's a little bit vague,
yeah,
but no, it's just this sense kind of in every area that, that there's life all around us.
Yeah.
I think what can be challenging is still like I don't even know how to say it, but well, it's beautiful and it's challenging, right? Is this partnership with the rest of the church in the neighborhood. So we believe we're connected to all believers in the neighborhood, and we get to work alongside them. And so when we see them doing mission, we join them in that. When we see them creating community, we join them, you know. It's really beautiful. The challenge is that, you know, do others, are others willing to go in with us and join and do the work, and help create places of mission? And where that happens, that is so life-giving, where other believers say, yeah, I get it. Like, I'm there. I see what's happening and how community is forming and how mission is happening. Where they get it, like, that is so life-giving. And then where they miss it, that's really challenging,
yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Because I'm like, we did a backyard Bible club this summer. And so we had 20 kids that wouldn't go to VBS or anything like that. Mm. They're just the neighborhood kids that can walk here. And yeah, they, you know, are hearing about Jesus for the first time in just really beautiful, like, not weird ways. Mm-hmm. You know, I have some baggage. Probably a lot of us have baggage with certain VBS kind of things, right? But I'm like, here's all these neighbor kids that want to be around us and want to know about God. So who am I to keep that from them? So where the church joins us in that, that's so life-giving. And those who don't, that can just be a bummer and a challenge.
Yeah. And discouraging. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us today,
Lauren. Thank you.
It's so much fun to hear about the journey and your story and how you guys are fleshing it out on the ground. If somebody wanted to stay connected with you online or with you personally or with the church, is there a way for them to do that?
Sure. Probably just find me on Facebook and
connect.
We kind of we're a little bit underground right now.
That's good. I love it. That's good.
Yeah.
Cool. And if anyone wants to learn more about V3, and there's a bunch of different things that we do and offer ways to try to encourage and support people in the work that they're called to, you can go to the V3movement.com. You can also download the app if you look for the V3 Movement in on the App Store or whatever that thing's called. The App Store, right?
Sure.
Wherever you search for apps, the V3 Movement can be found there, and you can download the app and stay connected to all the different things we got going on. Thanks for hanging out today, guys. We'll see you later.
We hope you discovered something meaningful in this podcast for your church planting journey. To connect with our training, tribe, and tools, go to thev3movement.org.